What a good weekend God has given us, a Labor Day weekend, and just beautiful, beautiful weather. And people are enjoying the fruit of those who have labored in the past to make America what it is. Amen? You think about it, we're the most blessed people that ever lived, I think, and to have been born in America. And I think of the people who labored so diligently through the years to build this country. And the freedoms that we have today are something else again. And we are enjoying the fruit of those who labored hard. And those who literally gave their lives, many of them, to enjoy the freedoms that we have today. So we're thankful for that. Now the divine, the defining moment in history was 2,000 years ago when God sent his own son to die on the cross for you and me. Amen? And this was precious blood that was shed for our sin. And what happened was he purchased us back, and we are his purchased possession. We are God's people and the sheep of his pasture, according to what the psalmists have said. Amen? We are his people and the sheep of his pasture because he purchased with his precious blood. Praise the Lord. Now, this morning, I want to share with you some things that are on my heart and have been on my heart. On this Labor Day, we think that America is fighting for its Judeo-Christian life because of what is happening in our world. And if you're watching the news and seeing what's happening in America, what's happening in our government, you've got to be concerned. And it drives God's people to their knees to begin to pray and seek the face of God. Because what is happening in America is it's changing the whole face of what we are seeing. And the reason I say that is because our president said we are no longer a Christian nation. Contrary to what President Truman said in the 40s, in a letter that he wrote to the Pope, he said, "We are a Christian nation." There's a quotation from President Truman, and he gave this admonition, and I think it fits so well today, although it was written in the 40s. And he said this, "The fundamental basis of this nation's laws was given to Moses on the Mount. The fundamental basis of our Bill of Rights comes from the teachings that we get from Exodus, St. Matthew, from Isaiah, St. Paul. I don't think we emphasize that enough these days." That's President Truman in the 40s. "If we don't have a proper fundamental moral background, we will finally end up with a totalitarian government which does not believe in the rights of anybody except for the state." And I think that fits so well for us today to begin to pray and seek the face of God as never before. Now, what Kaiser Wilhelm could not do, and what Hitler and all of his Nazis could not do, what the Imperial Japanese could not do, what communism could not do, radical Islam has infiltrated our country to such an extent that it's frightening. Our president ignored the National Day of Prayer, and he went to Ramadan and hosted Ramadan, extolling the virtues of Islam in America and the things that that have been accomplished by the Muslims. Number one, I guess, is taking out the towers. I guess that's one of the things that they did. I'm saying this because it's time for America to know where we stand. And that's what my message is about today, to know exactly what we believe and why we believe it and be ready to stand up and take our position before God. Amen? I heard this last week on national television, a Catholic bishop, and he said this, that what is happening in America is sinister and it's evil. And he said it's time for Americans to stand up for our Christian beliefs, our Judeo-Christian foundation, which is beginning to erode as never before. Our textbooks are being rewritten in our schools. And I heard a whole message on this past week how the publishers are changing the things that are found in our public schools. And the president is going to be speaking to the schools this coming week, a half hour speaking to children. Minnesota has opted out of that, and they're not going to be part of it. All right. Now, over 200,000, and Pastor Jim shared this on Wednesday night, over 200,000 Christians are being killed annually across the world. Christians are dying for their faith. And if we think that we live in America and it's not going to touch us, it's time for us to rethink what's happening here. There's a little girl that's down in Florida, young girl, 16, turned from Islamic religion to Christianity. She's afraid to go home because their father might do an honor killing. Honor killings are worldwide. They're happening here in America. For those who changed and go from their Islamic faith to the Christian faith, they're dying for that. And I say this because we are, America is fighting for its Judeo-Christian foundation. And when we lose that, we are in great trouble. Amen? Well, that's the bad news. What I want to do is bring you some good news. And that is that God wants us to know where we stand spiritually and our relationship with Him. Our Heavenly Father desires above everything else that you and I might know that we know that we know where we stand spiritually. That there be absolutely no question in our mind where we're going to spend eternity. And many of those people in third world countries are willing, literally willing to lay down their lives. If they die, it's a win-win situation. If they die, they lose, they win. If they live, they win. They're going to give their testimony for Jesus. But I believe that we've grown soft in America. I believe that that we have become compromised very often in many of our churches across the nation. And if you read the polls, you'll understand the same thing. So with that, I want us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm not going to read all this because I don't want to take a lot of time this morning. I just want to share what's on my heart and what God, I believe, wants you to know and wants you to be reinforced this morning. And so I won't read all the scriptures. I'll just make reference to them in your bulletin this morning. You have the verses, and when you get home, if you'd like to read them and understand where I'm coming from. That verse in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, and beginning with, I'm not going to read verse 6, but beginning with verse 9, we see those words, "I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him." Now, that's what Paul was quoting from Isaiah 64. And if you were to go back to Isaiah 64, you'll see those same words. And Isaiah was saying, "God, you're angry with us, for we have sinned, and we need a Savior. We need to get saved." This was Isaiah's words. And in verse 7 in chapter 64 in Isaiah, he said, "God, you've hidden your face from us, and we need help. We need a Savior." Paul quotes Isaiah. But then he goes to verse 10, chapter 2, 1 Corinthians. And he says, "No, I have not seen, but God has revealed to us." And we are living in a special dispensation where the Spirit of God has made real to us his plan of salvation. He sent his Son. He sent the Holy Spirit to come and instruct us and teach us. And so we have no reason to doubt nor question the things of God. Because God, we understand that. We understand the plan of salvation that was not being understood back in the Old Testament. It was being pointed to, and they knew that Messiah was going to come. They knew that there was going to come a day when God would send his Son to die on the cross. And Isaiah 51 talks about that. But it hadn't happened. And once a year, as you recall, once a year the priest would go into the Holy of Holies and confess the sins of the people. But now, in this dispensation, it's not so. If I commit sin against God, the Holy Spirit convicts me, He's right there. I can ask forgiveness, and he washes and cleanses and sanctifies and purifies my heart as though I'd never sinned. Amen? The guilt is gone. I don't have any guilt over sin anymore because Jesus paid it all. Amen and amen. Well, in the little letters of John, 1 John 2 and 3, we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now, in the little letters of John, very often he has pointed out that he wanted us to know, that we know where we're at spiritually. And I believe that this is where the church needs to be today, that we know what we stand for. We know the scriptures. We know God's word. We're bathing ourselves in the word of God. We understand what God is saying to us, and we've opened our hearts to the Lord Jesus, and we've opened our hearts to the ministry of the Holy Spirit so he can teach us and instruct us and show us. Because in 1 John 2:27, John says, you have an anointing, and you know this anointing teaches you. So when the Holy Spirit came, now we are being instructed and taught by the Holy Spirit. And as we draw near to the Lord, the Holy Spirit shows us some things. I can't get away with being mean. I don't know about you, but the Holy Spirit, if I'm unkind, my heart is pricked because of it, and I got to make it right. I don't like that, but I have to make it right when I've said something I shouldn't, when I've hurt somebody's feelings, that I've got to go and take care of it. And that's the Holy Spirit that does that for us. I said, well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of that for me. Well, praise the Lord. Now, the natural man cannot receive the things of God. And 1 Corinthians 2:14 talks about that. And if I were to read that, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. And sometimes we begin to talk to people who don't know the Bible. They don't know God. The things we're talking to are kind of foolishness to them. They kind of latch on. They say, that sounds right. But they just can't quite grip onto it. But once something happens, and I always enjoy talking about and looking into the life of Nicodemus. And when Nicodemus came to Jesus that night, he said, I know that you are a teacher come from God, and I know there's something special about you. You know, Nicodemus was a good person. I mean, he was a godly person, but he knew there was something lacking, there was something missing. Came to Jesus by night, and he said, good master, what must I do to be saved? I need to be saved. And it was only when he was born again, as Jesus said, you must be born again. And so until he was born again, he couldn't really understand the things of God. And that's where we're at today. And until we come to a place of surrender to the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to come in and teach us and instruct us and show us the things of God are foolish to those people. We don't really understand that. But God desires above everything else that we are being led by the Spirit that he has sent into the world on the day of Pentecost. Amen. The Spirit of God descended upon his people and they were directed. You couldn't hold them down. They went everywhere spreading the gospel because something happened inside. They were empowered to carry the message of salvation. Not that they weren't born again. I believe that they were followers of Jesus, but something happened when the Holy Spirit came upon them. Now, the things of God do come by revelation. And in 1 Corinthians 2:10, but God, again, we repeat that, God has revealed these things to us, and we understand by his Spirit the things of God. I want you to turn with me to John chapter 14, if you will. And this is the red letters of Jesus speaking, John 14. And we're going to read there from beginning with verse 15. And Jesus said this, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you orphans, but I will come to you. I don't know about you, but I've had days when I got lonesome. I said this morning, there were 9 people in my family. I had 8 siblings. Only 4 of us left, and 5 are gone. And I can't go and talk to them. They passed away very young. They're 50, 55, 51. And I get lonesome for them. And I get lonesome for my mother was so very close to me. I spent a lot of time with my mother. I remember when I was working out at the farmer's place for $1 a day. That's all I earned. But I came home one day. My mother liked to bake bread and churn butter. I came home that evening, and she was the only one up. We sat across each other at the table, and we had fresh bread and churned butter and a good visit. I never forgot that. That was just a close time for me. And you understand, I get lonesome for times like that. But the best part of it is one day, I'm going to see my mother and the brothers, sister that gave their hearts to the Lord. There's going to be a reunion one day because I know that God sent his own son into this world to die for my sin, that I am a purchased possession. And Paul talked about this in one of the verses that we have given you there, and I don't pick it out. I think it's 1 Corinthians 6. But we are a purchased possession. We are God's own people. One day, and I believe that day is approaching very rapidly, when Jesus is going to come. And I want to say to you this morning, he's going to come for a church that has prepared itself, that is washed in the blood of Jesus, for a church that is sincere and in earnest in their relationship with God. And there's absolutely no question in the minds of people, but we can know that we know that we know. We're not orphans. We're not, Jesus said, I'll not leave you, but I'll come to you. When I came back to the Lord after several years, when I strayed away, like the psalmist said, if I make my bed in hell, he's there. I made my bed in hell a few times, and he was there and drove me out of a horrible pit, as the psalmist said. I was in a horrible pit, and he drew me out. I wouldn't be here except for a praying mother and a loving heavenly father who came and rescued me out of the life of the far away from him. Amen. Praise the Lord. What I'm saying to you this morning, one day, the sky is going to open up. King Jesus is going to come for a church that's ready and prepared. And we can know without a shadow of a doubt where we're going to spend eternity. I want to close with this because I want to give Brother Mike plenty of time. And I know that you came to hear him. You didn't come to hear me. So, but Pastor Jim, you've got to blame him. He's got to take the blame for it. Amen. Yeah, I want to turn to 1 Peter 2:9. I can almost quote it by memory, and I'll close with that because something happened. Something happened when in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. There's a new dispensation. We are living in a new time. When Isaiah was looking forward to, I have not seen, now we have seen. We've seen Jesus. He came, died on the cross, rose from the dead, alive evermore. Muhammad is still in the grave somewhere. Jesus is alive and well. And he's very present here this morning. And so Peter says this, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. That's us. That's people who have given their heart to Jesus. Amen? A holy nation, his own special people. You're special this morning. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And that's where we are today. God's people are there. God's people know the results of a life that's surrendered to Jesus. America is fighting for its Judeo-Christian life. our nation as we have known it, that I grew up in, is not the same any longer. And it's changing rapidly. And people are becoming more and more alarmed about what's happening in America. And the answer is for people to cry out to a holy God, and he will hear. I don't know if we've passed or gone beyond the point of return or not. I'm thinking of Billy Graham and his messages across America through all those years when opportunity was given to millions of people to get right with God. There are godly churches across America that are preaching salvation through the blood of Jesus. Opportunity has been given. And if we miss it, we've missed everything. Nothing else matters if we miss Jesus. Thank you for listening to me. Father, I just thank you and I praise you for your love for us. I thank you for the plan of salvation that we understand and that we can know that we know that we know that one day when you come, that our sins are covered by your precious blood. And one day we'll stand in your very presence, and we just thank you for that. And it will be a time of rejoicing and a time of singing. And we just give you praise for that. At the end of the service today, if you have a need, we will spend time and pray for you, whether it's physical or spiritual. If you're not sure where you're at with Jesus, you come. We will pray with you. And the Spirit of God will make it real to you.